Today's shir is Masechet Ma'akot and Daf Ches. We will begin on Daf Zayin on the base on the bottom line of Yehuda. In our previous shir, we had learned a Machlokes Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda how we know that the decision if somebody is tamei or not is completely dependent on the koyin. Not only is completely dependent on the koyin, but the koyin may make the decision not to look, and therefore not to decide yet if this individual is tamei or not. So we had a machlokes Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda learned it from the pasuk that says, "Ubiyoyim harois boy basachay yitma." And the Gemara said, "Yeshayim shatroya." There are days that you examine, and there are days that you don't examine. Rebbe learned it because the Torah says, that when a kohen is called to examine a home that has in it the goyim, the Torah HaKadosh says that before the kohen enters and makes the decision if the house is tameh, we should remove from the house all the kalim. Because once the kohen makes the decision that the house is tameh, everything in the house is tameh. And as we explained in our previous year, if there are klicheres there, there are no way to imitar the klicheres. And that's why the Torah says the kohen should instruct them to remove all of the klicheres from the home. So we see that the home does not have to be examined immediately. Ufinu es habayis. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda not agree that we can learn from this pasuk that we just quoted of etziva kohen ufinu es habayis? Says the Mar Mehosam Lagerminen. He says we don't learn from nigei batim to nigei adam. The chiddushu, this is a chiddush that the Torah said regarding nigger batim, because explains the Gemara. Under normal circumstances, eitzim v'avonim ba'alma loy metamu, normally wood, pshuti kliyetz, wood that doesn't have a kli kibul, that doesn't have a receptacle, is not metama. For hocho, and here we find that all of these materials are metama, so it's something that's unique, and we have a klal in kolat Torah kula, that from something which is a chiddush, aim loimdim, we can't learn from there to other areas of halacha, because the concept is aim by ele chiddushay. We only have the chiddush that the Torah said, nothing more. The Rebbe Amar, Rebbe is going to say, itzrich. We have to, he says, explains the Gemara, that we have both the limud of ufinu es habayis and the limud of biyoyim, because explains the Gemara, in understanding Rebbe's opinion. If the Torah would have just written the pasuk of Yom HaRoisboi, have a meaning we might have assumed, when may the Kohen delay looking and making a decision, when what's at stake is a Dvar Mitzvah. But when it's not a Dvar Mitzvah, when it's for a Dvar Rishus, that it's my convenience that the house shouldn't become tamei, I would have all of these issues. That maybe is not a good reason to delay looking. Kos Rachmana, that's why the Torah writes the words v'tziva koyim. V'kos Rachmana, that even for dvar reshus, we could delay making the koyim could delay making the decision. On the other hand, v'kos Rachmana v'tziva koyim, had the Torah only written v'tziva koyim, have a mina, we might assume, hani in the laf tumah de gufe. The tumah that we're speaking there about, as we just said, is tumas habayis. There was a negus seen on the home. Avo tumah de gufe. But when we speak about tumah that emanates from the body, ema mechse chazale, there the kohen has to immediately look at it. That's why tzricha, that's why the Torah had to have two limudim. In other words, according to Rebbe, nigei batim are a chiddush, but explains the Rishonim, Rashi. Once the Torah taught us that by nigei aguf we could delay looking at things, so there we could learn the Torah says we have both of them together. We make a combination of the pasuk that we have by the nigei aguf and the pasuk that we have by the nigei batim to one. Reflects on the other, And together we come to the decision, we come to the halacha that we could delay, and we not only can we delay, but we could delay even for dvarishos. Amamar. So we learned in the Brice in our previous year, the Pasuk, as we said at the beginning of today's shir, says, B'yoyim harois b'bosachai. We learn from that Pasuk, Yesh yoyim shatarayba, Yesh yoyim shiatarayba. My mashma, Amar Baya, how do we know that that's what this Pasuk is coming to teach us? Says Abaya, Im Kain, if the Pasuk is not coming to teach us, look the Rachmana B'yoyim. It would be adequate for the Torah to say the word B'yoyim. My u'B'yoyim. Why did the Torah write the word u'B'yoyim? Shma mina. To teach us this halacha, yesh yoyim shatarayba, yesh yoyim shiatarayba, as we explained in the previous year, not always are we obligated to immediately look at the nega. Rav Amma, Rav says, without focusing on the letter vav, kule kro yuseiruhu, I claim that the entire pasuk is superfluous. Then came, lichter rechmana beiros. It would be adequate that the Torah should write the word beiros. Ma'i u'biyoyim. Why did the Torah add the word biyoyim? Al shema mina, to learn from here. Yesh yoyim shatarayba, yesh yoyim shiatarayba. Vabaya, Abaya, who wasn't prepared to say that the whole word biyoyim is superfluous. Why not? He needs that to teach us. He needs the word biyoyim to teach us. Biyoyim v'loy b'layla. That the kohen may only examine during the day and not at night. V'rava. And Rava, where will he know this halacha from? That biyoyim v'loy b'layla menole. Says the Gemara Nafkale, because the Torah says, L'chol mare ena kohen. That the kohen sees it with his own eyes. He doesn't need any further illumination. He could see it with his eyes without any light. At night, that wouldn't be possible. Vabaya, Abaya, that he says that we could see, that we learn from the word biyoyim, that it has to be by day, not by night, where you need extra illumination. Hahu, why will he use the words l'chol mara ena kohen to teach us? Mabayle, he needs it to teach us a different halacha. L'mut is suma b'achs me'inov. If you have a kohen who, Rachman Tzlon, is blind in one of his eyes, that he is not a qualified kohen to examine the goyim. Says the Gemara, Rava, so this halacha, that a kohen who's blind in one eye, everybody ought to agree we need to learn from the pasuk l'chol mare einei kohen, that the Torah says both eyes. Says the Gemara, indeed. Rava nami ba'ile lahachi. Rava shouldn't need it for that purpose as well. And a chanami, says the Gemara. So if we're back to where we started, we wanted to suggest that the kohen that Rava learned biyoyim v'loy b'layla from the pasuk l'chol mare einei kohen, but now the Gemara is accepting that Rava will agree that we need l'chol mare einei kohen to teach us that a kohen who's blind in one eye is disqualified. So if we need that to teach us that a kohen who's blind in one eye is disqualified, so we're back to where we started. Where will Rava know this halakha? El b'yoyim v'loy b'layla menolei, nafkalei k'nega nirale b'bayis. And the pasuk, the word li, is superfluous. Li v'loy l'oyri. It comes to teach me that I was able to see it without anything extra. V'baya, Abaya, who learned that you're not allowed to see the goyim by night, he learned it from the word biyoyim. Why can't he learn it as Rava just learned it from Li v'loy la'iri? Answers the Gemara, Ima hasam, if we would only have that pasuk, have mina tuma delav de gufe. I would say when it's tuma on the house, which is the subject of that pasuk. Aval tumah de gufe, when we speak about tumah that emanates from the body, maybe we would say afilu la'ira, even where at night we're allowed to examine it by light. Kamash malon, we have two psukim, one pasuk for nigei guf, and one pasuk for nigei adam. So the question, of course, is here Abaya is really repeating a concept that we began today's shiur with, and that was that nigei guf and nigei batim are not the same, and one cannot always be learned from the other. And who was the one that taught us that concept? It was Rava. So if that's the case, why when it comes to not being able to examine the Negoyim only by day, not when you need extra illumination, is Rava not ready to accept this concept that we can't learn Nege Oda from Nege Batim. So the way the Tosfos discusses this, he explains as follows. When it comes to delaying looking at the Nega, that there we can maybe differentiate between Nige Odom and Nige Batim. But when it comes to looking at night, there is no reason to differentiate. If you could use extra light, then it's fine. And if you can't use extra night, then it shouldn't be fine. There's no reason to differentiate between Nige Guf and Nige Batim, says Rava. And since there's no reason to differentiate between the two, that's why the Gemara says that Rava doesn't need two separate psukim. Abaya obviously disagrees. And Abaya says that Nige Adam and Nige Batim are always different one from the other. And since they're always different one from the other, we always need separate psukim for these type of halachas. Continues the Mishnah. V'oid Omer Rameyam. And as the Rishonim explain, this subject that we're got to learn in our Mishnah has nothing to do with what we learned previously. Till now we've been discussing, as we just did, the halachas of Negoim. Now we're not talking about Hilchos Negoim. But as we discussed in a previous year, Rameyer is the most lenient when it comes to examining Negoim. Here too, Rameyer in our Mishnah is going to be most lenient in the subject that we're beginning, which is the subject that if somebody buried his parents, can he reinter them on Chol HaMoed? And says Rameyer, Malakat Adam Atzmais Aviv Imoy, a person could collect the bones of his parents and bury them in Chol HaMoed, Nesha Simchi Loi. It represents a simcha. So the number of explanations, what happened. Some explain that we're referring here to a situation where a person did not have the ability, the opportunity, to bury his parents, Kfuras Avoisov, in their family plot. And now he has the opportunity to do so. And the Mishnah is teaching us that on Chol HaMoed, one may do so, one may do so. That's one pshat. Another pshat, that, and according to that, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, even Rameyu, who's lenient, will be only lenient in a case where they're being buried in a place which represents an upgrade. And that's why it may be done. Others explain that in those days, that's what Yerushalmi explains, when they would bury a person, they would first bury them in a place where they would get decomposed quickly. And since they would get buried in a place they would get decomposed quickly, that's what they wanted should happen to that nifter. And then afterwards, they would take him and bury him in his permanent burial place. A third pshat is that there's a concern that something may happen to that kever. And because there's a concern that something may happen to that kever, the halacha is, says Rameyer, it could be reburied on Chol HaMoed. And even though that what pshat neisha simchloi, the way to understand it is that even though, of course, the reburial represents a tsar, but that the simcha that he will ultimately, that the snifter is going to be reburied in a place where it's a befitting place for him to be buried, is the ultimate, is outweighs the tsar of the reburial. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says that we're not allowed to do so in Chol HaMoed, Evu Huloi. It represents a tsar that even if the, when experiencing this type of a situation is a tsar, and therefore it should not be done in Chol HaMoed. Says the Mishnah, Lo Yara Adam HaMeisai. Somebody whose relative passed away before Yontif, so not hire somebody to get people concerned and excited about the Nifter. Why 30 days? As we're going to learn the Gemara. Because 30 days before Yontif, as we've learned so many times, Shailim V'Darshim Kodem Achag, that before 30 days before Yontif, we start thinking about the Yontif, and therefore, that's already considered the time of Yontif. So similarly, says the Mishnah V'lo Yespidenu, Kaim L'Rega Shalom L'Yoyim. 30 days before Yontif, we're now going to say a Hesped. So the Shas Shuvah Space Ephraim asks that the Pasuk says that all of Klal Yisrael said a hesped on Shmuel. And Shmuel was Nifter on Chaf Ches Iyar. Chaf Ches Iyar is less than 30 days before Shavuos. So the Beis Ephraim says that since this was a very unique situation, Shmuel was the leader of Klal Yisrael. So when we're dealing with the leader of Klal Yisrael, of course the halacha is different, and we could do so. Another explanation that the Sefer Matzevus Moshe suggests is what we just discussed, and that is what makes 30 days before Yom Tov special? Because we said, 30 days before Yom Tov, we start learning the Hilchos Yom Tov, so it's already a time of Yom Tov. But says the Matzevus Moshe, that halacha doesn't apply to Shavuos. Shavuos does not come with that many halachas. Only by a yontif, which is an obligation, that 30 days before yontif, we start learning the halachas of the yontif, does this din apply. Another explanation the Matzevus Moshe suggests is that this halacha only applies to the relatives of the nifter. But an individual who's not a relative of the nifter doesn't have this halacha. So our Mishnah said that according to a mayor, Malakar Odom Atmas Ovav Imai, Nesha Simchiloi. Ask the Gemara Raminui, the Mishnah we're going to learn in a Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamalakit Atmas Ovav Imai, if somebody is collecting for reburial the bones of his parents, Harezimus Abalem Kolayoim, that entire day he has to act all of the halachas of Avelis. And most Rishonim are of the opinion that this halacha doesn't apply only by parents. It applies by all relatives that are being reburied. However, the Miri disagrees. And the Miri says that there are opinions that say that it only applies to parents. Furthermore, the Miri says that even though we're learning that the day of reburial is a day that we have to act with Avelis, it's not a time necessarily to say Hespedim. So the Gemara's question is obvious. Here our Mishnah said that Remeya holds that the day of reburial is Simcha Hiloi. And here we see that we have to act with Avelis. Of course, Tosfos says that our Mishnah, the Gemara could give an easy answer. That opinion that says that the day of reburial is a day of Avelis is following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah. And Remeya disagrees. But the Ritva says that the Gemara didn't want to give that teretz because it's the wording of Remeya in our Mishnah. And Ritva says that's part of the question that's being asked in our Gemara, is how could Remeya use the words that the day of a reburial is Simcha Hiloi? How could one suggest that a day of reburial of a parent is a day of Simchas? That's really the focus of the question. Not that much the halacha that you have to act with Avelis that day or not. The Rosh quotes the Maram Ratenberg that we know that Rachman Tzlan, if somebody is Nifter, until the Kvura, the close relatives are Einanim. So what's going to be the halacha on the day of a reburial? So the Ram Rattenberg says the same will be. As soon as the Nifter is taken out, Hilchus Aninus apply, and they continue until the actual reburial, and then for the rest of the day, that individual are Avelim. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says when we're dealing with a reburial, there is no Aninus, there's only Avelis. Moreover, the Meiri quotes Yerushalmi that if the person who's being reburied is being transported in a stone box, the halacha is that there's no din, this din doesn't apply. Because he wants to suggest that Likud Atzamas should be taken literally. Likud Atzamas means gathering the bones. But if they're all together in a box, then that's not considered a situation of Likud HaTzavos. So says again, the Gemara Verminu, Ask the Gemara. It says in a brayso, Hamalaka atzmos over v'imoy haremus abel leim kol hayoyim. You have to do avails all day. Ul erev, how in the evening emus abel leim. Because, as explains the Rosh, the halacha is that this is avails yoyim echad. But the Rosh makes an interesting point. The Rosh says that one should avoid doing likud atzmos right before the evening. Because if you're going to do right, liquor at Tzomus before the evening, it'll turn out that you didn't really perform any Avelus. And Vam Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda takes this a step further, and he says, Afil Tzru Mesadinoi, even if the bones are in very nice, wrapped up nicely, the aloch, and therefore wrapped up nicely, so it's done, covered, and moreover, because they're wrapped up, nobody actually sees the bones. Still, says the Mishnah, says the Braisa, it's a day of Avelis. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara, as we explained, how could Rameya be lenient in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, the way to understand Rameya in our Mishnah is Menesha Simchas HaRegel Olav. Because it's a time of Yontif, and since it's a time of Yontif, that enjoyment the one is experiencing because of Yontif makes that the experience of Avelis that he has when he reburies his parents will not be there. We learned in our Mishnah, the Loyara al-Mesoy, that somebody should not cause excitement or cause grief 30 days before Yontif. My Loyara al-Mesoy. So ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Amarav, Karadu Saftan b'Marava, when the people used to say Hespedim would go around town in Eretz Yisrael. Amri, they would say, Yifkut imi kol merari libi. Just like this family is upset because of the loss of their loved one, everybody who has something to be upset about, who lost a relative, should participate. And therefore, we should avoid that type of situation close to Yontif. And in fact, the Miri says that even in the situations where one is allowed to make a hesped on Yontif, says a Chalamoid, says the Miri, there's a level of what type of hesped may be performed or not. And this type of hesped that we just learned of La'ara al-Mesoy is prohibited on Yontif. Koidim regu shloshim yoyim. We said V'loyas bidenu koidim regu shloshim yoyim. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Shloshim Yoyim, why is there such halacha? So suggest the Gemara, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Yudah Merav, because Maisa Ba'adam Echad, there's once a situation where a person, Kineis Maas Laal Seregel, gathered money in order to be able to have funds to be Oyle Regel, or Boaz Safdan, Vamana Pesach Beisoy, and there was a person who said Aspedim and came to the doorway, to the entrance of his home, and he started saying a hesped on this person who was nifter, v'notlan son isha, and his wife took the money that he had saved up to be oil regal, v'notlan son loy, and she gave the money to this person that used to collect payment for the hespedim, v'loy ola. And then this person did not go up to be oil regal to Tetzisrael, he didn't have the funds. And therefore said the Gemara, because we're concerned that it'll prevent them from being oil regal. So the Ritva explains that, again, if that's the concern, what does it have to do with Shloshim Yoyim? So explains the Ritva, people started saving up to go be oil regal 30 days before Yontif. So that's when Shmuel is concerned that a person is not going to be oil regal because money is going to be used for different purposes. But before 30 days, a person isn't really saving up money to be oil regal. We don't have that concern. We don't have that concern. I'm sorry, that was the opinion of Rav. The Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, L'fish ein ames mishtakach man alev shloshim yoyim. When we say a hesped 30 days before Yontif, what's going to happen is that the person, even if he was starting to calm down and not be so upset about the person and his family that passed away, once the hesped is said, that reawakens all of his feelings, and that's why when Yom Tov comes, he'll be in a bad place. He'll be bitzar over the mace that was niftar. My benayu. So Gemara has just now offered two different reasons. What's the nafkamina? So Gemara, ikumenayu the kavod bechinam, where the person who's saying a hesped is not getting paid. So according to the opinion, according to Rav's opinion, that we're concerned that you're going to use up the funds for that you put away to be oil regal, that concern doesn't exist. But according to the concern that we don't want you to have this feeling on Yom Tov, the halacha will still remain. The Rishonim ask, why doesn't the Gemara give a different nafkamina? Why doesn't the Gemara say that bezman hazeh, where there is no aliyah l'regel, then according to Rav, this shouldn't be aser? So the Rishonim say two terutzim. One terutz is that once Chazal, as we know, we often discuss this, that once Chazal make a gzeira, the gzeira remains under all circumstances. So once Chazal here made a gzeira, that because of the story of Aliyah L'Regel, we can't do a hesped 30 days before Yom Tov, that remains even Bizman Hazeh, where there is no Aliyah L'Regel. Another pshat that they suggest is that although the story that we're discussing was connected to Aliyah L'Regel, it's not specifically Aliyah L'Regel which is the consideration. It's that the person will have put away money for Yom Tov needs, and now the money that he put away for Yom Tov needs, he's going to use for the hesped, and he won't have funds for Yom Tov. That applies, obviously, even Bizman Hazeh, where we, of course, need money for Yom Tov. Furthermore, the Yerushalmi makes a very interesting point. He says that this halacha is only by a meis yoshon. It's only by a person who passed away a while ago. And we started forgetting that that person passed away. And now, we're making this hesped, all of those emotions will come back before Yom Tov. But says the Yerushalmi, if this person that we're giving a hesped on was just nifter 30 days before Yom Tov, was just nifter, so we haven't forgotten him anyway. Since we haven't forgotten him anyway, there is no reason to not say a hesped. Furthermore, says the Mishnah Berurah, what's going to be halacha in Elul? Elul is 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Does this halacha apply to Rosh Hashanah as well? The Mishnah Berurah says that the Mekri Megadim is not quite certain how to treat Rosh Hashanah. However, the Yeshuas Yaakov clearly indicates that in Elul, a hesped may be said. So here we're learning that when may a hesped may be said before Yom Tov or not. So the Taz, and the question is, do we follow the opinion of Shmuel or do we follow the opinion of Rav? And the Taz says that here we follow the opinion of Shmuel, that we're worried about what kind of a feeling will there be on Yom Tov if we say a hesped so close to the Yom Tov. However, the Shulchan Aruch paskens, like we just said, that if the nifter on whom was saying a hesped was nifter recently, so the feelings of the stress are there anyway. So since the feelings of the stress are there anyway, such a hesped may be said. Moreover, the Shaal Sechuvus Shvus Yaakov, Chelik Bey Sim Chavhei, says that maybe this halach is only by relatives. Because relatives, when they say the hesped on their relative who was nifter, those feelings of distress come back. But if it's not a relative, there are these strong feelings, and we could be more lenient. The Shailas Tshuvas Mechas Yitzchak discusses that it's not necessarily that case. He discusses that the Satmar Rebbe was nifter before Rosh Hashanah, not long before Rosh Hashanah. He was nifter in Chodesh Av. And the question was, were Aspeidim allowed to be said in Elul? And the heter that the people were saying the Aspeidim were not the relatives of the Rebbe Zitzal was not something that was taken into is not something that should be taken into consideration. Says the Mishnah, Ein Chayfen Kuchim. The way that they used to bury people sometimes in those days was that they had a cave and they had recesses in the cave. And the halacha is that ain choifim kufim kfaris b'mayit. One is not allowed to prepare such a place in the wall or prepare a kever on chalamayit. Av mechanchim as a kufim b'mayit. As we're going to learn to fix it, not really just start burying, digging it. That may be done on chalamayit. And as Rashi explains, that our Mishnah is not referring to a situation where we have somebody who Rachman Otzlan was nifter, that must be buried. We're talking about a situation that no one was nifter, but unfortunately, as the Rishonim explained, we're referring to a city where it's quite likely that somebody will pass away during Chol HaMoed. The Mukhei Yosef says a city like Yerushalayim, particularly on Yontif, where there's so many people who are there and so many people get buried in Yerushalayim. So we would maybe assume that we could prepare kvarim beforehand. Teaches us the Mishnah that we may not do so. There's no mace in front of us. There's no heter to dig from scratch because that's considered a tircha yisera. Because, as Tosfos points out, we learned the Masechta Rosh Hashanah. If there's a mace in front of us, even on the second day Yontif, we do what we have to do for the mace. So certainly on Chol HaMoed, when we have an actual mace here, we would be allowed to be lenient. The Baal HaMor says that everything we're discussing is in those times, that the grave that was dug was a very serious structure. So since it's a very serious structure, it may not be dug on Chol HaMoed. But if it just involved digging a hole, like the graves nowadays, already in the time of the Baal HaMor, it may be something that we could be more lenient. However, the Mishnah says, "Al mechanchem as a kuchem b'mayid." And the way the Rishonim explain, in order that the Mishnah should be consistent, what the Mishnah says is that if all we're doing is that we already have a grave dug, and all we need to do is just perfect it, fix it up, even though there is no mace right here currently, we're allowed to dig that grave. However, the Rama quotes a Rivash that says that one should never dig a grave for somebody who's critically ill, because it's a very bad sign. And as the Rama, as the Rivash says, "Kedei shloi lisra mazlei." So ask the Chidah that our Mishnah says that we're not allowed to dig a grave on Chol HaMoed. So it seems that we are allowed to dig graves for people that are still alive. Says the Chidah, there's a very big nafkamina. We're not allowed to dig a grave for a specific individual on Chol HaMoed. We're never allowed to dig a grave for a specific individual who's very sick, and even ever, as the Rivash says. Here we're referring, as we've been explaining, says the Chidah, that we're in a city that has a large population, that probably, unfortunately, there's going to be a need for a grave on Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnah is teaching us, we're not digging for anybody specifically. We're not allowed to dig a grave from scratch, but we're allowed to fix it up. The Shamat Tziyachim, the Aloch, has a different approach. He says, when the Rivash says that you're not allowed to dig a grave for a person who's very sick, it's talking about a person who's on the verge of death. But, says the Shamat Tziyachim Balacha, the Rivash will hold that if you have a person who is not in that situation, you're allowed to dig a grave on behalf of such a person, and the concern that it's a bad sign doesn't exist. Says the Mishnah further, and we're going to explain this in the Gemara Mitzvashem, the ois in the vrechas b'mayid. We're allowed to make, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah, a place where they used to dig, they used to wash the clothing. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, v'aron in a mace, if there's a mace, then we're allowed to make an aron, a coffin on his behalf, but only in a mace b'chotzer. In other words, says Tosfos, when it comes to making the aron, there's no difference if the mace is there or not. But when there's a kuchen amaris, there we have to make there we have to dig only if there's a mace here. That says the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Oyser, Elm Kem Yeshim Minasarim. Rav Yehuda says that we can't go into such detail of making an Aron unless the boards are there from before. If we have to get boards, then we don't have to bury, we may not do so on Chol Hamoed. And I saw two explanations why. One explanation I saw is because you don't have boards, then get boards. Don't go prepare boards if you don't need to. Another explanation is that you could bury a mace directly in the ground without a coffin. But since you could bury him without a coffin, so we're lenient under certain circumstances to make a coffin. But we can't make a coffin if we don't need to. Moreover, explain the Rishonim, that this that we only could build a coffin when the mace is in the chatzar is in a situation where people are not aware that there's a mace there. So therefore, people are going to say, why are we making a mace? Why are we making a coffin? What's the right to make a coffin? But in a situation where there's a mace, where there's the mace, everybody knows there's a mace there. So under those circumstances, it's obvious that the coffin that's being built is being built on behalf of the mace. And therefore, the halacha is you could make the coffin even if the mace is not there in the chatzar. Ask the Gemara, we began our Mishnah with kuchen and kfaris. Ask the Gemara, my kuchen and my kfaris. Are you the kuchen b'chafira? Kuchen are in the ground. The kfaris b'binyan. And kfaris are above ground. Tanya nami hachi, eilen kuchen v'el kfaris, kuchen b'chafira, b'kfaris b'binyan. But we learned in the Mishnah, avol chamchen as a kuchen, we're allowed to be fix them on Chol Hamoed. Ketzem Achamchem. Ask the Gemara exactly what does that mean. Amar Rav Yehuda, Shem Haya Aruch, if the Kuchen was too long, Mekatzroi, we could shorten it. Mesnesetana, Marchba, if it's too short, we can lengthen it, we could widen it. Vice in the Freches. Ask the Gemara, mind of Reches, exactly what is this Navreches? Amar Yehuda, Zubikia. It's a place in the ground that they made a hole where they would gather water. Vatanya, ask the Gemara, how can we say that the definition of a Navreches is Bikia when the Braisa speaks about a Navreches and a Bikia? Isn't that clearly an indication that these are two separate things? There's something called a Navreches and there's something called a Bikia. Amar Abai Vitamer of Kahana, Gia, there's a larger pit where they gathered all the water. And then there's Bar Gia, where they smaller pit that they took for, that the water from the bigger pit ran off into the area of the smaller pit. So again, the Miyokas Larashi on the side says that this was used to wash clothing. And they had these two different pits where they washed the clothing. However, their Rishonim, they disagree with that pshat. And the reason they disagree with that pshat is because our Mishnah is referring to people who are being buried in Chol Hamoed, graves in Chol Hamoed. So why does the Mishnah, according to this interpretation, speak about a place where we're washing our clothing? And that's why those Rishonim say two different pshatim that I saw. One pshat that I saw is that they say this is where they would prepare the tachrichim and other materials that the niftah needed. One pshat that I saw, another pshat, going back to something we discussed earlier in our shir, they would first bury the body in this nevreches. And the purpose of burying the body in this nevreches was in order that the body should decompose. Because as we mentioned earlier, the body decomposing was something that they did before they did the permanent burial. We learned in the Mishnah, Aron and Mace b'chatzar. An Aron may be built if the mace is there. Tanina l'hadat Tana Rabbanan says the Gemara. Our Mishnah is teaching us something that we learned in a Braisa that teaches us oisin kol tzarich a mace. We'll have to do everything we need to do for a mace. Guys in Saroy, we cut his hair. Perhaps like susoy, we wash the tachrichim. Voice in Aron and Asaram and Asaram Merav Yontif. We're allowed to prepare the Aron from boards that was there from before Yontif. And the Meiri says a very interesting pshat. The Meiri says that in those days, people had tachrichim prepared from before. And not only that tachrichim, that they have tachrichim that were prepared from before, suggests the Meiri, but the Meiri says that people used to wear those tachrichim. It was a way to do tshuva, realizing what is the end of every person. So it's possible that those tachrichim would get dirty, and before they were needed to be used for a mace, they would have to wash them. We can make the arin from boards that were there from before Yontif. We're allowed to bring boards and make them wood and make them into boards as long as it's done. And as the Yerushalmi says, we're not allowed to cut down a tree, but to take a board, to take a cut wood and turn it into a board, that is permissible. How, furthermore, the Paiskim are lenient. They used to use hadassim by a nifter. That is also permissible to be done on, cut hadassim for a nifter on chalamoid is also mutter. Says the Mishnah, ein nosa noshim moid, we may not get married on chalamoid. Loi besul suloi amonis, it makes no difference if the woman is a besul or a mona. Veloi miyabim, we know, Rechman Slon, if somebody dies without children, his wife has to have yibum. So we would think that since there's already, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem many times in Masechta Yevamos, there's a zika, there's already a connection between this brother who's going to do yibum and his sister-in-law. So it would be, maybe be considered as if they're already somewhat married, and therefore such a marriage may take place on Chol HaMoed. Teaches us our Mishnah that it may not be done on Chol HaMoed, Neshes Simcha Eloi. And the Gemara is going to explain in detail what does Simcha Eloi mean. Al Machzor Grushasoi, someone who he was married to, but as all the Rishonim point out, when we say Machzor Grushasoi, it's talking about Grushasoi Min Nesuin, that since they already had Nesuin at one time, so they were already fully married. So remarrying such a woman is not really considered a significant simcha. And in fact, the Maret says that we know by the Sheva Brachas, by the wedding, or whenever we make Sheva Brachas, we say, Simcha b'maynai. Says the Maret that when somebody is machzor grushasoi min a nesuin, we don't say Simcha b'maynai, because it's not such a high level of simcha, and therefore such a marriage may take place on Chol HaMoed. The Achronim point out, Amish is saying that we're not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed, as we're going to learn Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara. The Achronim say, what's going to be halacha that if the woman says, I'm moichel on Simchas Yontif, I'm anxious to get married, and let's get married on Chol HaMoed. The halacha is that we're not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed, even if the parties involved are willing to get married on Chol HaMoed. Of course, a bris, bezmanoi, b'yoyim hashmini, is allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. We're allowed to make a bris on Shabbos when it's yoyim hashmini. Certainly we're allowed to make a bris on Chol HaMoed. But Taisu says that even a bris, shloi bezmanoi, that means the baby was not able to have a bris on the eighth day, it's a delayed bris, may be done on Chol HaMoed. And the reason it may be done on Chol HaMoed is because a bris doesn't represent such a high level of simcha, because the baby is in pain during the bris, and the halacha therefore is that a bris, even shloi bezmanoi, may be done on Chol HaMoed. Teaches us the Mishnah further, a woman is allowed to prepare all the different types of makeup. And as we're going to learn the Gemara, even though sometimes it involves pain, that procedure, it's mutter to be done in Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yudaimer Loitosid, she may not put on plaster on her body, even though it makes her body glow and makes her look better, because till it happens, she doesn't look nice, and we're not allowed to have that intermediate step of Chol HaMoed. Somebody who doesn't really know how to sew is allowed to sow on Chol HaMoed, but points out to Ritva that even though we're being lenient to sow on Chol HaMoed, it's talking about something that you need for Yontif. If the person doesn't need that clothing for Chol HaMoed or for Yontif, even though he's not a professional tailor, he's not allowed to sew on Chol HaMoed. For Uman, somebody who is a professional tailor, the only way he's allowed to sew is Machlev. The Gemara Mitzvah Shem will explain what Machlev exactly means. Besagnas Amitos, the beds that they used to have were really constructed by a series of straps that were all connected by the length and by the width. And says the Mishnah, that may be done on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer Mematchen. We're only allowed to do Mematchen, but we're not allowed to do Mesagen. And we'll speak about that in the Gemara as well. Says the Gemara, we're not allowed to get married in Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah said, because Simchi Loi. So I asked the Gemara, obvious question. So we're supposed to be with Simcha on Chol HaMoed. But Chi Simcha Loi may have her. Why should that be a reason not to get married? Answers the Gemara, Amar Yudam Shmuel, V'chen Amar Rebeleza, Amar Rebaishya, V'amalai Amar Rebeleza, Amar Rebechanina, L'fisha Eim Arvan Simcha B'Simcha. We don't want two Simchas to get mixed up. And therefore, there's the Simchas Yontif and the Simchas of the wedding, and we want each to remain separate. Rabbi Rav Huna Amar, Neshe Meniach Simchas Regel, V'ayse B'Simchas Ishtoi. We want a person to have Simchas Yontif, but if he's going to get married, he's going to be focused on his wife. Amar Le Abayla Rabbi Yosef, Had Rabbi Rav Huna, the Rav Hu. This explanation the Rabbi Rav Huna just offered is really what Rav said. Don Rav Nenil Bakatina Marav, Menayin Shein Nosim Noshim Emoid. How do we know we're not allowed to marry a Yontif? Shenema V'Samachta B'Chagecha V'Loi B'Ishtecha. Yontif is a time for Simchas Yontif. Now, of course, the question is, why is this not the same as Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha? And the answer that the Ran gives is Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha is not limited to Simcha of getting married. Any two Simchas may not be done on Yontif. Samachta B'Chagecha V'Loi B'Ishtecha speaks specifically to getting married. Ulama Mnei Torech. There's much that has to be done in order to make a wedding. And as we learned so many times in our Masechta, on Chol HaMoed, we want to avoid a Tircha Yaseira, and therefore don't get married in Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, may bittel Pir Vivya. If it will be permissible to get married in Chol HaMoed, people will wait to get married in Chol HaMoed. Because on Chol HaMoed, they used to make a large feast, a large meal anyway. And people are going to say, Chol HaMoed is the perfect time to get married, because I'm making a big meal anyway. Meisvei asked the Gemara from a Braisa on all the different explanations that we just gave. And the Rosh says, before we go further, that the reason of Nebitl Piri Rivia, because we want a person to get married and not delay the marriage, applies, says the Rosh, not only to a person who wasn't yet Mekayim Mitzvahs, Piravirvya, but even for a person who was already Mekayim Piravirvya. But as we're going to learn, the Gemara says that even if somebody got married, the Gemara Masechta Yevamos is going to teach us, Nasi Isha B'Yaldusa, if somebody was married when he was young, Yisa Isha B'Zaknusa, he should still get married and have more children. Shenemar, B'Boyke Zeraz Erecha, U'Terev Al Tanach Yadecha. So even if it's just getting married, even though you were Mekayim, the Mitzvah Pir Rivya, the concern of Mnei Bittel Pir Rivya still applies. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Kol Amru, Kol Elish Amru Asurim L'Isra B'Moyd, all these that may not get married in Chol HaMoed, Matarim L'Isra B'Erev Regel, Erev Yotah Degel married. But ask the Gemara, given all the different explanations we just gave, Kash Lakula, all the explanations should be applicable because the issue of Eimar Simcha B'Simcha is there. The issue that he's going to make, the issue the Samacht B'Chagech V'Loi B'Ishtecha is there. The issue that you could be busy making this meal and not be worried about Yontif is there. The issue of delaying the marriage is there. So why would it be Mutar? Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. L'man Dam M'Shem Simcha, the coin to Mandama that says, Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, Ika Simcha Chad Yoyma. The Simcha of getting married is on the first day of the marriage. And that's Erev Yontif. L'mandam v'shem tircha, the mandam that's concerned of tircha, ikka tircha chad yoyma. The meal, the wedding meal is with the tircha. The rest of the other shav brachas don't represent that much of a tircha. L'mandam v'shem bitter v'hir v'yivya, l'chad yoyma l'mash inchi. The Gemara is saying that a person's not going to take the chance of getting married, only having one day to get married, Erev Yontif. Because what happens if that day doesn't work out? He won't have another day. Chol Hamoed, which is a longer time, that's when we have to be more concerned. And that's why Chazal said, Chol Hamoed, don't get married, but play Bitter Peri Rivia, but that doesn't apply to Erev Yontif.